Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized. Text 33. Ata cha tvam imam dharmam. Ata chet tvam imam dharmyam. Ata chet tvam imam dharmyam. Sangramam na karishyasi. Sangramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam apapshasi. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata chetvam imam dharmyam. Sangramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata chetvam imam dharmyam. Sagramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata chetvam idam. Sangramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata chetvam idam dharmyam. Sangramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata chetvam idam dharmyam. Sangramam na karishyasi. Tata svadharmam kirtim cha. Hidva papam avapshasi. Ata. Therefore. Chet. If. Tvam. You. Imam. This. Dharmyam. As a religious duty. Sangramam. Fighting. Na. Do not. Karishyasi. Perform. Tata. Then. Swadharmam. Your religious duty. Kirtim. Reputation. Cha. Also. Hidva. Losing. Papam. Sinful reaction. Avapshasi. Will gain. Translation. If, however, you do. So Krishna's talking to Arjuna. He's trying to convince him to fight. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Please repeat. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Purport. Arjuna was a famous fighter, and he attained fame by fighting many great demigods, including even Lord Shiva. After fighting and defeating Lord Shiva in the dress of a hunter, Arjuna pleased the Lord and received as a reward a weapon called the Pashupata Astra. Everyone knew that he was a great warrior. Even Dronacharya gave him benedictions and awarded him the special weapon by which he could kill even his teacher. So Dronacharya was his teacher. He gave a weapon even which he knew could kill him. So he was credited with many military certificates from many authorities, including his adopted father, Indra, the heavenly king. But if he abandoned the battle, not only would he neglect his specific duty as a Kshatriya, but he would lose all his fame and good name and thus prepare his royal road to hell. In other words, he would go to hell not by fighting, but by withdrawing from battle. End of the purport. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripasandubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatta Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Can you imagine? Arjuna's on the battlefield. He's one of the greatest warriors who's there, and he walks away. What are they going to say? They're going to say all bad things about him. And for a Kshatriya, that's worse than death, that they're going to say bad things about him. So Arjuna was on the battlefield, and he was giving 5 reasons for not fighting. And one of them was that it would be sinful. Sin will overcome us if we don't fight. If we kill our brothers, our family. If I kill my teacher, if I kill my grandfather, then I'll get sins. So to counteract this argument, Krishna is saying, no, you'll get sins by not fighting. So I thought I would read some things from Mahabharata, the greatest epic of all time, told by Purna Pragya Das. And we'll see why, how Arjuna became famous, how he was fighting Lord Shiva, and how he got this weapon called Pashupata Astra. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Arjuna's father is Indra. So I thought I would just read a little bit about how Arjuna got born of Indra rather than Pandu. The thing is, Pandu, although he was married, he had 2 wives. He didn't actually have any children by them. He got cursed. So what happened was, he was in the forest with his wives, and there are 4 things that Kshatriya kings really love to do. And one of them is playing dice, gambling. They share intoxication, some nice wine with each other. They like to go hunting, and they're keen of associating with women. So Pandu was especially fond of hunting. So he was in the forest with his wives, and then he saw this big deer. And so as soon as he saw the deer, he pulled out his bow and arrow, and the deer was mating with his wife. But Kshatriyas, they don't think about what the deer is doing, that the deer is enjoying his life. So he pulled out his bow and arrows, and he shot the deer with 5 arrows. And what happened was, as the deer fell to the ground, it cried out in pain just like a human being. In fact, as Pandu approached it, the dying deer reproached him, saying, "Wicked king, how have you learnt such cruel and abominable behaviour?" Pandu harshly replied, "Foolish creature, you must know that Kshatriyas engage in killing deer without any kind of moral considerations. Why are you finding fault with me?" The deer said, "I'm not I can't see Mark. Can you move a little bit? No, he's hiding behind you. I think he moved an inch forward or something. The deer said, "I am not criticizing you for the act of killing a deer, but for killing me as I was engaged enjoying sexual intercourse, which is so agreeable to all living creatures. O king, actually I am not a deer. I am the Rishi Kindama. I have been enjoying with my wife in the form of a deer because I feel too modest to indulge in sex in the human form. Because you have been so cruel as to kill me as I was relishing this most pleasurable moment, I hereby curse you. The next time you approach your wife under the influence of desire, you will die." So that's quite a heavy curse for an accidental. It was an accident. He didn't mean to kill the sage. Hare Krishna Maharaj. He didn't mean to kill the sage, so it was a very heavy curse. So then the sage died, and so Pandu, there he was, in the forest, with his two wives, young, beautiful, and he couldn't touch them. So he didn't have any children at that time either. So he couldn't get sons. So then he goes and asks the sages, "Can you arrange for me that my wives can get sons? Because a king without a son, that's, you know, very lamentable. He's very upset about that." And the rishis, they said, "You will certainly have very exalted sons." So then he asked his wife, "Kunti, would you please accept to get pregnant by some superior, equal or superior man than me?" And she said, "No way, forget it. I'm not letting another man touch me." But with some persuasion, she said, "Well, actually," she told the story that she did have a blessing, that she could call demigods. Kunti could understand that her husband was determined to convince her to allow, convince her to have children by inviting someone else to impregnate her. Thus, she decided to disclose the incident from her youth. So Kunti was born from Prita, and she was given to his friend Kunti, Kunti Bhoj. The king called Kunti Bhoj. That's why she's called Kunti. So her stepfather, Kunti Bhoj, he used to have Brahmins visit the palace, and she would look after the guests. And then one day, Duvasya Muni came to the palace, and that's a little bit scary because he's a very advanced sage. But if he gets angry, he curses. So she looked after him very nicely. He was very pleased and he gave her a blessing that she could call any demigod to get a son. So then she told her husband, "Actually, I have this mantra. I can call demigods to get children." And so, of course, that was ideal. The sage knew the future, so that's why he gave that blessing. So Pandu, he asked to get different sons. So first of all, what's the first one he got? Which son did he get first? Pandu? No, but he didn't know about that one. Yudhisthira, and then next, somebody else? No, number two, who's number two? Bhima. And so number three is Arjuna. After some time, Pandu desired to have a child that would become exceptionally famous and capable of vanquishing all others on the battlefield. He considered that Indra would be the proper father of such a child. And so he became determined to perform austerities to please the King of Heaven. So Pandu does really difficult austerities. What he does is, he stands on one leg from morning to evening for a year. And he told his wife also to do some auspicious vow. Then, after a long time, Indra appeared before Pandu and announced, "Descendant of Bharat, rest assured that your austerities will bear fruit. By my grace, you will obtain a greatly celebrated son who will be unconquerable in battle." Thereafter, Pandu ordered Kunti to invoke Indra by using the mantra she called Indra, and they got Arjuna. So when he was born, celestial voices described his glories, his future heroic pastimes. And while he was speaking, flowers showered from heaven and sprinkled on Kunti and the child. And a host of celestial sages and demigods came and offered prayers and glorification. Quite auspicious. And so that's how Arjuna was born. And then when he's young, his teacher who teaches him the martial arts is called, what's his teacher called? Dronacharya. So he gets a very special weapon from Dronacharya. So there, how old will they be? Young, not maybe teenager, maybe less, maybe a teenager, just about. So Drona is teaching the sons of Pandu and the sons of Dhritarashtra. And then one day, Drona took all of his disciples to the Ganga so that they could bathe in the sacred river. When the teacher was within the water, an alligator came and grabbed him by the thigh. Even though Drona was certainly capable of freeing himself, he anxiously called for help. As all of the other princes stood there, dumbfounded, Arjuna quickly picked up his bow and killed the alligator with 5 arrows. So Arjuna is still a child at this time. But he was very quick off the mark, he was very sharp. He got his bow and arrow and he killed the alligator. And his teacher was very pleased and he considered him his best pupil. And as a reward, he gave Arjuna the use of the Brahmastra, along with the knowledge how to retract it. However, at the same time, Drona warned, "Never use this weapon against a weaker enemy, such as an ordinary human being. Such a rash act could lead to the destruction of the entire universe." A Brahmastra is a kind of nuclear weapon. Then the teacher, Dronacharya, he went to Dhritarashtra, the king, and he informed him, "O king, now that the education of your sons and their cousins is complete, I would like to hold an exhibition to show off their skills. They can all demonstrate their skills to the crowd, the public, all the citizens can come and watch." So they arranged this big arena, and everybody came to have a look how the princes had learnt all these skills nicely. And so first of all, they called them in order of age. Yudhisthira goes first, he shows his skills, and then Bhima and Duryodhan show their skills. And then Arjuna, they announced Arjuna will appear next. As Arjuna majestically entered the arena, the crowd became highly delighted just by seeing him. Kunti Devi was seated along with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, who were listening as Vidura described all that was taking place. When she saw her son enter the arena, Kunti began to cry out of strong maternal affection. Dhritarashtra was also very happy to learn that the crowd was cheering for Arjuna. He felt blessed to have such a wonderful nephew. Arjuna proceeded to display the prowess of his celestial weapons. He created fire, so he shot his arrow, and he created fire by using the Agni weapon. And then he shot another arrow, and that was called the Varuna weapon, and that was water that put out the fire. And then he got the Parajanya weapon, which made clouds appear, and with the Vayavaya weapon, that's the he cleared away the clouds with wind. So he was doing this all with his arrows and with mantras. Then he created a land weapon, he created land with the Boma weapon, and a mountain with a Parijat weapon. Having done all this, then he employed a Antardhana weapon, and everything disappeared. They are all these creations that he had made disappeared. Then he shot 21 arrows into the hollow of a cow's horn, which was hanging by a rope and swinging back and forth. So there's a cow's horn on the end of a rope that's swinging, and he shoots 21 arrows into it. That's a very nice feat, and so all the audience thought that was great. Arjuna performed many wonderful feats that greatly astonished and delighted all those assembled there. So this is how Arjuna builds up his reputation. By even as a child, he's doing all these amazing feats. And then as the story progresses, they have, so they grow up. Then after the story switches now to after the gambling match. After the gambling match, they're banished to the forest. So while they're in the forest, they prepare for the battle of Kurukshetra, because it's going to happen, and so they're told to get prepared. And to get prepared, what Arjuna needs is some special weapons from the demigods. And in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada was mentioning that he got a weapon called Pashupata Astra from Shiva. So this is how he gets it. First of all, he has to get in the place where all the demigods live, he has to get there first. And to do that, he gets a special mantra. So Vyasadeva came, and he said he gave the mantra to Yudhisthira. Vyasadeva took Maharaj Yudhisthira aside. In a secluded place, he said, "O king, I am now going to impart to you the mystic powers that are known as Pratismriti. In turn, when you give this knowledge to Arjuna, it will enable him to approach the chief demigods such as Indra, Shiva, Varuna, Kuvera, and Yamaraj for the purpose of acquiring weapons." So Vyasadeva gives the mystic powers to Yudhisthira, and then he passes it on to Arjuna. Yudhisthira says to Arjuna, "After becoming empowered with the Pratismriti mantras, I want you to go to the Himalayas and perform severe austerities." So that's what he did. He went into the Himalayas and they did their austerities. And then Lord Shiva appears, but he's in disguise. He's dressed as a hunter and called a Kirata hunter. There's all kinds of races of people which are considered low birth, and one of them is Kirata. So Shiva's dressed as a low-born Kirata hunter. And there's a boar a wild boar, and Arjuna shoots at the boar exactly the same time as this hunter. So Arjuna says to the boar, "Kindly wait a moment, I shall send you to the abode of Yamaraj." But Lord Shiva, who's dressed as a hunter, says, "You cannot kill this boar because I aimed first." Arjuna ignored the hunter because Arjuna's a high-born, high-class, and he's thinking he's low-class, and so he takes no notice. So they both shot the arrows simultaneously, and the boar got killed. And it was a Rakshasa in disguise. So Arjuna saw before him the Kirata surrounded by numerous women, his effulgent golden form, giving him the appearance of a demigod. Taking this as an opportunity to exhibit his prowess, Arjuna inquired, "Who are you? Why have you come to this forest? Because you have impudently pierced the boar that I was aiming at, I will not allow you to leave here with your life." So he said, threatens to kill him. Just because they were both saying, "No, I was first, I was first." But then the hunter says, "We are accustomed to living in the forest, so you should not be surprised to leave me here. On the other hand, you were brought up in royal luxury. Why have you come here?" And it was I who struck the fierce Rakshasa first and sent him to the abode of Yamaraj. You are overly proud of your strength, and you have foolishly imputed your fault to another. It is you who have acted against the codes of hunting, and I shall not let you escape with your life." So then they start fighting. So Arjuna's attacking him with arrows, and he's completely undisturbed. The hunter is completely undisturbed, and he just says, "You wretch, why don't you just send some more powerful arrows?" And Arjuna's sending all these weapons, and nothing happens. He gets a sword, and he smashes him on the head, and the sword breaks. And then in the end, Arjuna gets defeated. When Arjuna finally regained consciousness, he was covered with blood, and he was very sad because he was thinking he's been defeated. In that humiliated condition, Arjuna began to mentally pay obeisances to Lord Shiva. And then he made a clay deity of Lord Shiva, and he started to worship him. And he made a little flower garland, and he gave it to the deity. And then he saw that this hunter is wearing the garland. Then he realizes that it's Shiva. And then he starts paying obeisances. And Shiva says, "My dear son of Kunti, I'm very pleased to have witnessed your prowess, which is almost equal to my own. I will now give you divine eyes so that you can behold my original form." Then he gets darshan. Arjuna gets darshan of Shiva and his wife, Uma. And he says, "I shall make your quivers inexhaustible, and I shall relieve your body of all pain. In addition, you may ask any benediction you like." And so he asks for a special weapon, and Lord Shiva says, "I shall award you this favorite weapon of mine, which is known as Pashupata, which is not even possessed by the great demigods like Indra. But I must warn you that if it is invoked without adequate cause, it can destroy the entire universe. There is no one in existence who can escape death when this weapon is discharged." So Arjuna first purified himself, and then he requested Lord Shiva to instruct him how to use the weapon. And he gave the knowledge to Arjuna. And from that time onward, the weapon waited upon him. When the Pashupata Astra was imparted to Arjuna, the earth began to tremble. and the sounds of thousands of conch shells, drums and trumpets could be heard. Hurricane winds began to blow. All of the demigods and demons could see the terrible weapon in its embodied form as it stood by Arjuna's side. And then Lord Shiva left, and then Arjuna went to get his other weapons. Arjuna felt as if all of his objectives were already achieved, as he remained absorbed in thought, thinking about everything that had just happened. Varuna appeared, and the Nagas appeared, and then others also appeared. Kuvira came, the Yakshas came, Yamaraj came, the Pitris came. The next moment Indra arrived, and Indra has a carrier called Airavata, and it is an elephant with seven trunks. And Indra is the king of heaven, and so he also came, and lots of Gandharvas came. From the southern mountain peak, Yamaraj said in a deep voice, "O son of Kunti, you have been given divine vision to see us in our celestial forms. We have come here to assure you that Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and all others who oppose you will be vanquished. To assist you in your mission, here is my infallible mace." So that's a club. He gives his club to Arjuna. From the western peak, Varuna said, "I will give you my infallible nooses." A noose is like how the cowboys used to catch a horse. It's like a rope that goes around. Lasso. From the northern peak, Kuvira said, "Here is my favorite weapon, the Antardhan, which puts the enemy to sleep." Arjuna used this weapon when he was in incognito, when he had to fight for the king. Yes? No, he didn't use celestial weapons. No, that's the dance. He destroys by dancing. I don't know about that, if it's ever used. And from the eastern peak, Indra said, "My dear son, to help you fulfill your mission, you will spend some time with me in my heavenly abode." And then a chariot arrives and it takes Arjuna off to Indra's place. And Indra teaches him all kinds of things. And that's all we've got time for. Yes? Oh, this is the one that Bhakti Chiruswami recommended during the seminar. That's why I bought it. There's a book here, it's called Mahabharata, the greatest epic of all time, and it's told by Purna Pragya Das. One of the questions at the Mahabharata seminar was, which one do you recommend? And he recommended this one. Bhakti Chiruswami recommended this one. And he signed it for me. But I don't know what... He said it was the most accurate. It's on the database. It's on the database. I know. No. I don't know how to compare it to other ones. I haven't read other ones. It's concise. I would prefer it a bit more padded. Padded. It's concise. The stories are told sometimes short, in a short way, concise way. I would prefer it more. Yeah. Yeah, but she only got Queen Kunti got a son with Suridev because he said, "I can't leave without giving you a son." It's not that she wanted a son; she was just testing the mantra. And anyway, he was born from her ear. She was chaste. She was married. She was chaste. She didn't want some other guy touching her. And Pandu gave various examples. He said, for example, my own mother accepted Vyasadev to get children after the father died. Vichitravirya died, and so Vyasadev gave sons to his widows. And he gave other examples, and then she said, okay. So shall we stop here? Oh, you have a question?
No,
So some of, okay. So the verse was, if however you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then certainly you will incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. So after he got all these weapons, after they did all this preparation, after he's got so many blessings, he says, I'm not going to fight. What a disappointment. The main character says, no, I don't think I'll fight today. They've assembled 640 million soldiers on the battlefield to carry out this war. And Krishna's organized all this. He's arranged all this because he's come to lighten the burden of the earth by getting rid of all these kshatriyas. He's arranged that the right people come there to get killed. And Arjuna says, no deal, I'm not going to fight. And so he's given these five reasons for not fighting, and one of them is, we will get sins. I'll get sins if I kill my family. And so Krishna's counteracting this argument by saying, you'll get sins for not fighting. Then in the purport, the Prabhupada's saying that Arjuna was such a famous fighter and he got different weapons from different people. And he mentions Indra, the king of heaven. He calls him his adopted father. But we would call it, in modern language, biological father. The father that gave the pregnancy. Yes? By not fighting. Because it's his duty. He'll get sins for not doing his duty.
Yeah, but I'm just a little bit surprised and confused that, for me that needs explanation. You certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties. So why would you incur sins and not kind of sins? And Bhattrava, you just explains the reputation.
Yeah, because that's going to be the next verse. The reputation is going to be the next verse.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to give an answer?
Also, because we're discussing the verses. We're discussing the sin.
We're
discussing this topic where I'm interested in the whole chapter throughout all of the verses. So we don't need to discuss.
Like in the verse that we did yesterday, he's saying that Kshatriya, for a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent, it's the philosophy of fools. It's a Kshatriya is born to die on the battlefield. It's his Swadharma. Everybody has their Swadharma. Yes, the Swadharma of a Brahmin is to be non-violent. But for Kshatriya, it's, yes? So he'll say later in the Gita that you have to do your own duty and not do the duty of someone else, because it's wrong. Of the they're not according to birth, they're according to guna and karma. Maharaj was explaining this morning that your caste is according to, partly by birth and partly by guna and karma. So supposing that your father would be a doctor, then you might get it into your head, oh, I also want to become a doctor. But still you have to go to the medical college. It's not that you get, you know, like a free diploma or something. So if you're born in a Brahmin family, then you might have some more tendency to be to want to be a Brahmin, but still you have to get the training. Yes? In the previous verse it says that violence has to be applied in certain cases for law and order. They have to do this, they have to fight this battle. Yudhisthira has to be the king. If he's not the king, it's going to be Duryodhan. And look what Duryodhan has done. He's behaved completely out of order. What he did to Draupadi in the assembly, he stole their land, he tried to kill them, he gave them poison, he set their house on fire. He said to disrobe the queen in a full assembly, take off the queen's clothes and see her naked in a full assembly. How low can you get? Can this guy be the king? No way. They have to fight this war. Yudhisthira has to become the king. Yeah? Yes, so the next few verses is going to be about character. They'll say so many bad things about you that's worse than death. I mean, it's another angle. He's getting him from all angles. He's going to say, how would you feel if they say bad things about you? I mean, that's like, for us, that's minor. But Krishna's bringing that for a few verses. He's going to say that now. So, okay, we'll stop here. And... thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Part of my nature asked me to speak slowly, but when I get excited, I find it so difficult to speak slowly. No, I just picked the bits out that I need to test.
Oh, you didn't read it yet. We're too busy.
Thank you. Yeah.